and welcome to another episode of the Thesis Talks by OIE. And first of all, maybe let's just introduce ourselves. So this is Doa, I'm Lena, and we will come to our special guest today later. And the episode for today is on fieldwork and how you can combine fieldwork abroad with your master thesis or your bachelor thesis. And maybe before we start, we looked up the definition for fieldwork just to get on the same understanding. And the Cambridge says it's a study that consists of practical activities that are done away from your school, college, or place of work. So maybe we can discuss that later if that applies, but that's what we found in the internet. And for us, it was especially interesting to have this topic for today. Because as Doa said before, we were master students ourselves at CBS just until July this year, and we wrote our master thesis together, and we went to Kenya to do fieldwork. And for us, it was a great experience, and we learned so much about the culture. We had such a good time there as well, exploring what people are doing. And we thought we want to share not only our experiences, but also the possibility and open this opportunity for other students by sharing knowledge and information about it. Yes, that's the reason why we hold this session today.
Yes, so I'm lucky to introduce Mark. Mark was our supervisor for our master thesis. He's also an MSO professor, and he does research on innovation and economic organization within creative industries. But we thought it would be especially interesting to have you here because he's done fieldwork abroad in Bangalore and Bollywood, and he's also done it around Denmark. Yeah, so we thought especially because for us, he gave us such good insights into doing fieldwork abroad, and he was very open with how it is and what good advice is to have when you're out there in the field. So we thought it'd be nice to have him here and let him kind of enlighten us on how it is to do fieldwork.
I think before I talk about my fieldwork, in order for it to be make sense to all of you, I think we should just go back to the definition of fieldwork and why we want to do it. So it makes more sense. You will understand why I felt that I needed to do mine and how I did it. So it's correct that fieldwork is typically defined as going out there to work. Well, it's duh. But that means in our connection, and that is research, and that means going out to get data. Basically. So this is going out to get data for your work. It could be a master thesis, it could be a bachelor thesis. Can for my sake, it can be my own personal research, so the research I do with my colleagues and friends around the world. But there are many instances where you simply cannot get the data you need for whatever research you're doing, the questions you're asking from your desk. You cannot look it up. You can particularly not look it up on the internet, which is full of noise, and where you basically cannot trust much. But you cannot even find it in statistics, and there are many questions that you also ask in your thesis work that just cannot be answered by desktop research. So we very often need to go out there to get data. Data can be numbers, figures, and so on. They just are not online, are not in databases. You need to go out and pick them. It can also be observations where you go out and actually gather data, or you write down things, you observe things, and you quantify it and put out numbers on a piece of paper, and then you go home and type it in and codify it. So when you go out and collect data, it doesn't always need to be interviews and very soft and qualitative data. It can be quantitative, or it can be data that you then quantify and use it for something, statistics like and survey like. Some surveys are also collected by actually going out to firms and people and asking them. It's not all by the phone. But of course, much of the fieldwork that we think about is interview based or based on qualitative data. Data that's not supposed to be then turned into statistics and quantified. And I'm sure that most of you here who are doing your master thesis and so forth, you recognize it, that many of the questions that you ask just cannot be answered by looking into a database. You can't find it available. So we need to go out there. So that's fieldwork. So just let me finish my little pep talk before I talk about my own fieldwork. I think, as a researcher, and I'm a professor and so on, so I've been doing a lot of this stuff, but I did it already at the time I did my master thesis, and also at my during my bachelor time. And the reason for you and students to do this I mean, there are three main reasons. First reason I've already mentioned, that is you just cannot get the data you need to work with the questions that you're interested in by staying at home. So you actually need to go out there and look, potentially interview, do observations, and these other kinds of fieldwork types that you can do. So that's the first reason. Second reason is, so you can say that without it, you cannot write a good thesis. It directly influences your grade, actually, and the way you work with things. It also influences the way you work with theory. The theory that you're working with also has a big influence on what kind of fieldwork you need to do, what kind of questions you need to ask, and what kind of data you need to collect. So that's the first thing. You need to do it. The second thing is that you actually go through a fantastic learning process as persons, as professional persons, but also as individuals, when you do the fieldwork. There's just nothing that replaces the feeling of going and seeing the real McCoy, and just being there, seeing the processes in action. And of course, you need to, there's lots of limitations in that. You're only looking at a very few firms or a very few persons on a few processes. And you know you cannot generalize to the entire world, but maybe that's not what you need to do for your thesis. But the learning is very steep. You will experience a very tall learning curve that you just cannot obtain at home. You cannot do it in the office, no matter how much you read, and with all due respect, how many podcasts you listen to. There's just a limit to, you need to be there and see it yourself. So that is immense. And many of the students I have guided in fieldwork, they not only have they had this professional learning curve, but also as persons, they have been deeply inspired by something they saw or by people or companies they met. It has influenced their career choices. They may actually have established network relations that will lead them to jobs and all kinds of things later. It has really impacted them, because there's nothing that impacts one as actually getting your hands dirty and putting yourself on the line at risk a little bit. You don't all need to go to Kenya and these places and be so much at risk, but at least being there and sort of working directly with the field is very intense. And then finally, and that you shouldn't forget that, it's fun. So, I mean, you probably, I hope for you, that you're only going to write a thesis once. Your master's thesis is one-off. It's a one chance to really do something and kick some behind. So why not make it fun? Why not make it intense? And actually turning into this kind of learning experience also personally. There are too many who write their thesis sort of on a back burner. They have to think about their one or two cool student jobs and their boyfriends and girlfriends, and they also need to stay in New York, and they also need to do these things, and all their semi-professional handballers and all that. So very often the master thesis becomes sort of a little bit of a pain that you just need to get over and done with in the three last hours you have as spare in the evening, 2 days a week. Not only that, of course, not the best thesis in the world that comes out of it, but also you sort of prevent yourself from having this potentially life-changing, fun experience that you can look back and say, oh, those were the days. That was actually really lots of fun. I really moved, I shifted some opinions. I got inspired as a professional person. And by the way, I was influenced in my career choices, perhaps. Anyway, so these are the reasons. We've talked about why I do fieldwork. One thing we haven't talked about is why do fieldwork abroad? Because doing fieldwork abroad is, for obvious reasons, a little bit more difficult very often than doing it here. You do it in Denmark, you can try and try and try again, and eventually we'll get lucky. But if you go abroad, you have a limited amount of time, and it costs money, and so on. So it has to work. You can't go back and try again, usually. And the reason to do fieldwork abroad, again, there are two reasons. First of all, and that is probably an important one, is that sometimes the good stories are out there. I mean, this is actually where you can write a really interesting thesis, and this is where you can check something or test something or learn something that you cannot do here. In the case of Bollywood, that was pretty damn obvious, because it was about Bollywood, so we needed to go to India. That was quite obvious. But in many other cases, you are not asking about a particular industry or a particular place. You're asking a particular process, or a particular type of firm, or a technology, or a particular management problem, or something. And then you start looking for a good field, a good place, a good context where you can study that really to the best extent possible. And just very often, it's not here. The best examples are always very particular, and there's one or two or three of them in the world. And sometimes it's just in Korea or in Sweden, or sometimes they're in Denmark, great. But it depends on how willing you are to go for the problem. If you're really interested in a particular problem, really want to look into it, you just have to go where you can best possibly look into that problem. Other cases, you are much more pragmatic and say, okay, I'm not leaving Copenhagen, my girlfriend is here, and I'm already behind with my thesis, so it needs to be in Copenhagen, and then the problem has to follow the logistics. And now we're turning to going abroad and the practicalities. It's actually in many cases not so difficult as you think it is. Many of my students have spent a long time setting up the fieldwork in Copenhagen and ended up spending at least the same amount of time, if not more, on fieldwork here than they do abroad. You too will recognize the fact that when you are setting up a fieldwork somewhere else, if you're for instance going to stay with a firm somewhere or looking at a particular industry or a particular setting somewhere, you prepare very well and you go and you work like insane for a couple of weeks, you collect exactly what you need and you have it. And it's this wonderful feeling that you actually, now you have what you need. You're not dilly-dallying for half a year or for 4 months as many students do when they do it in Denmark. So this whole kind of time pressure you need to prepare before you actually go to the field and then everything is done in 3 weeks. Fantastic. Really, really efficient way of working. And just because you work like that, it actually turns out to be not so much trouble at all. So I have had students, you are completely self-helped and had your contacts in Kenya, or actually you just made your contacts.
You pushed
your way into that, like, just like I described I had to do in India and so on. This is, you were completely self-helped. I also had students who approached me and said, oh, I'd really like to do something in Bombay, for instance. And we managed to do that very well. I mean, there will always be somebody to help you here at CBS, your supervisor, or somebody the supervisor knows, who are able to facilitate and help you take the first few steps. So it's actually not that difficult as it is. It seems very daunting to go abroad and so on. It really isn't. You can plan yourself out of the whole thing. That student who went to Bombay never came back.
No.
She got married. So she married a film producer and she now runs her own little Bollywood production company.
Really? So she studied about Bollywood?
Yeah. So let me warn you against field work. It sometimes it gets very immersive and too much fun. She had it in her thesis, it was damn good, and then she went back.
Okay.
So again, the learning curve and all that. Anyway, so concerning the practicalities, don't be daunted by it. It's perfectly practically feasible. Ask a supervisor. He or she will have contacts or ideas, or will have some other persons who can then put you on your course. And then thirdly, think about the context, the place you're going. Is it a biotech company in Silicon Valley? Or is it a film producer in India? Or is it somewhere else? Just sit back for a second, think about what kind of context is this? What kind of approach is it that I need to do? Some of them are not reachable by mail. Some of them are not reachable in advance. Others are completely formal, and prefer everything to go through their secretary or their lawyer, and prefer everything to be set up a month in advance. And some of them, like some of the ones in Kenya, you actually need to go there and they need to set up the interviews and the case studies while you are actually there.
I think that's also one thing that we experienced. We thought, oh, maybe once we're here, we can already prepare our whole schedule for these 6 or 4 weeks. And that didn't work at all. Nobody was replying to me, or us, yeah. And I think then we went to you as well, and then you said, yeah, but that's just how it is. You just have to go, and then you're going to figure it out there, and don't be stressed. And I think you told us a few things about India, that you do, how you did interviews there. And I found that was really interesting, because you were very close to the people, or you entered their private life in some sense, and I think that's what we felt as well. You get very close to the people and how they experience life, which is very different. And I think with that also comes a lot of ethical concerns when you're there as a European, and how they treat you, and to perceive that as well in your data.
This general thing about all kinds of qualitative work, that is interviews and case studies and so on, where you do the interview based, that the situation of gathering data like that, no matter what you use the data for later, it is a quite intimate thing. Think about it. Somebody comes and wants to talk to you and ask about how you are doing in your company and your life, and you have to share that. That is the situation. So any interview situation, that way of gathering data, no matter whether it's in Denmark or abroad, will always have that kind of intimacy, and with that comes aspect of privacy and ethics and so on. But when you do fieldwork abroad, it just gets even more obvious because it's in your face. sometimes if you do an interview with somebody who is quite a lot like you, might be trained at CBS, and you talk about things that are very CBS-y, and the whole interview is quite smooth, you don't feel that whole situation to be very special. It's almost like reading a theory book. Everything is smooth and clicks into place. But then there are these other interviews where you are genuinely, you have no idea where this is going, and you need, there are all kinds of techniques, which we're not going to talk about today, about how to do an interview, and do you want to keep it open-ended, or do you want to keep it semi-structured, and all these things. But you, as the interview, as you set up these interviews, and how, when you do them, you realize, oh, this is, this is quite open-ended. I actually had no idea exactly where it's going, and it's fantastic, it's amazing, I'm learning a lot, the data is filling up, you know, I hope there's enough space on your iPhones, hard drives to contain all that cool data, it's fantastic, but also you are keenly aware that this is a meeting between you as a CBS type coming from CBS in Europe, and then somebody very different and in a very different place, and there are all kinds of really aspects of, God, I hope I can represent this well. I hope I can be loyal to them or the things they say. I also hope I'm not destroying anything for them by being here or doing this or writing on it. And so it comes really out very strongly when you do it abroad. And lo and behold, that is, as I said before, a part of that learning process. That's why the learning curve is extra steep when you do field work, and particularly when you do field work abroad. It just gives that extra boost. Nobody has done field work without being changed, inspired professionally and personally. And I think that when you do field work abroad, that degree of inspiration, both professionally and as a person, is just much higher.
Yeah. I think for us, for one of the ethical considerations, on a way to one of the field works on the farm with the entrepreneur we did on agriculture, we were going to a farm and we hit into a car, so we had a car accident. And it was the entrepreneur was driving and we were sitting with him. And I think that's where we also had to think, oh, okay, luckily he had insurance, but we felt so bad because that means his work was delayed. We also, our fieldwork for that day was cut short, so it meant our data was affected. But I also think it's important to be open and keep in mind that you can never get anything such as perfect data, because even if you don't get good data, it's still, you can then analyze that and say, why wasn't it good enough and what can you do better?
But being there, you discover that. Sometimes when you sit in your desk and you work with a nice database or look something up on the interlines and you believe what you read and you think, oh, this is very smooth, it fits perfectly the data, and you write your thesis or your analysis and you're not, it's smooth sailing. You can be home in time for tea. But when you're out and in field work, you realize, oh, things are actually not that smooth, and what they're saying is doesn't fit perfectly. This hasn't been digested and put into little boxes for you already. You have to do that yourself. Not only do you learn a lot, but you also eventually change your research questions. Your thesis become better by a degree of five, because you have actually, what is in the thesis now is actually real. It's not this theoretical idea that never got any resistance, because the data you found was somebody else's data you found in a database. No, this is the real life speaking right in your face, and you cannot, if you suddenly say, oh, it fits perfectly with theory, which it doesn't, then you know you're lying, and you know you're sort of violating reality. That whole process is a real research process to a much higher extent than other kinds of data work. I mean, I'm talking about in a master thesis, and it gives you that particular degree of learning. The first time I had Skype supervision with these two when they moved to Kenya, Dora had her arm, had a broken arm. So I said, okay, this is field work. You're really doing it.
She broke it on the second day.
Yeah, it's not mandatory to get damaged.
Should we maybe open for some questions?
Yeah.
Maybe you have some personal, maybe you want to go as well and you're just planning it. I don't know how far you are.
Okay, so the question is, so when you do field work, is it a particular place, market, city, company? Please remember that a field study, and both in Denmark and elsewhere, a field work is not necessarily case studies. It can also be a whole range of interviews that you to cover sort of a much broader ground and try and represent a lot of aspects of something. For instance, lots of aspects of an industry or lots of aspects of a company working with a lot of different people in the company, or the example I mentioned before, a particular technology. So you have to interview particular both people and companies, and you don't interview a company, you obviously interview a person in that company, but you're interested in the company as a whole. So field work is not necessarily case studies. It can also be a lot of interviews, for instance, as I mentioned before, it can also be other data types. It's just sometimes there's this confusion that any kind of field work has to be qualitative, not always, but very often. And any kind of qualitative work has to be case studies, not always, but often. So there's the question here of cultural difference, a cultural distance, you can say, is it an advantage or disadvantage to be culturally aware or acquainted with or even have something in common with that particular place that you are going? You can argue both for and against. And again, it really, I know it's boring, but it depends on the questions that you are asking and what you want to know. In some cases, it can be an advantage to not be very familiar with that particular country, that particular place, and that particular culture, because the questions that you ask are questions where I would actually, that whole thing of pretending or actually really not knowing anything can actually suddenly make you see a lot of things that you would not have seen if you were totally into it. And in the case of, for instance, going to India and working with the film industry was a huge advantage of actually not knowing anything. I loved Indian food and all that, but that didn't help me much. So I started with I had a toolbox of great questions and theories and knowledge about the industry and technology and the processes of making films and ownership and transaction costs and all this CBS kind of luggage I brought with me. But I really didn't know how things worked, and there were lots of surprises there that were deeply cultural. The things were very family-based was something I saw very critically when I came there. I would not have noticed it had I been super familiar with Indian culture already at that stage. So it wouldn't have clocked so heavily that this is all based on family. But in the end, it made perfect sense. It clicked with my theory and said, oh, well, because that's a way of keeping transaction costs down. And it became kind of very, very important piece of the data. I wouldn't have seen it, I wouldn't have made a thing out of it had I been very familiar. So sometimes it's actually an advantage to not be very familiar. In other cases, it would be a little bit of a hindrance to not know anything because you wouldn't be able to identify. For instance, you will never be able to find the right interview persons. You will make all these mistakes that will make you then return and have zero valid data in your baggage and so on. So again, my answer is boring, but that really depends on the kind of questions that you ask. But let me just say, I am confident that any of you can prepare more than sufficiently well from home when you go to a place. The level of insight into that particular culture and context, you don't need that deeper level that you cannot prepare from home. You will be easily able to prepare to a correct level when you go there. So maybe it's worth, like you did, going to Kenya, going to a place where you actually do not have any particular network connections or knowledge of that particular place or no particular insight into the culture. You were still able to prepare to a sufficiently high level to actually pull it off when you were there. There's not more weird than that. But the learning curve was nice and high when you got.
And I think it was also a benefit for us that we did not know much about Kenyan culture before we went. I think the one thing we looked at is, well, there's the advantage of that they do speak English as much as they do speak Swahili. So for that, there was no language barrier. And we took that into mind. We kept that in mind for the country we chose to go to. But we decided on the industry while we were there because we changed. And I think at the same time is, when you do go, another good advice or something we enjoyed, when you do go to a new country, culture, try to also immerse yourself in it. So we were lucky that Lena had a childhood friend that connected us with his friends. So we went on weekend trips and we went out every night. And so we really like learned the culture, not from just our field work, but also for how people live there every day.
That's a good point. I think preparing from home is of course trying to understand how the culture works, how the place works, just reading a little bit about the history and, oh, it's the second largest city we're going to, how does that work, is it different, all these things. But then it's also trying to just scan your network and see if you have any kind of entry point into that place you have. And in our time and age, with the very connected planet we live on, I challenge any of you to have absolutely no connections to anywhere. If we go out afterwards, have a beer, with any of you, I can probably find a connection that what each of you has to, for instance, doing field work in Bollywood. There will be something somewhere. Oh, well, you already have me, so that doesn't actually count. So you already have me, for instance, and each of you can now go and do field work because I can hook you up. But anywhere you can. This whole classic idea of 6 degrees of separation, all of us can actually work our network, and then we can reach Trump in less than 6 steps, if anyone should be so inclined. It works. We can all work our network and we can have an entry point. And if we have that entry point, we can already start and having that first one or two critical interview prepared so that they're set up when we get there, and then the rest will follow if it's a difficult.
Do we have more questions? Yes.
It's actually more of a practical question, but how does it usually work with funding?
So we self-funded our trip, but you can apply for funds. You just need to be out in good time, which we weren't, even though that we planned the trip actually already the summer before because we both went on exchange. But yeah, I think we were willing to pay the ourselves because we thought, okay, it's the Airbnb for a month and it's the flight tickets, but it's also the experience we get out of it. But definitely do look out for funds. There's a lot of funds you can apply to. CBS has a list on if you go on MyCBS. And then there's also, if you go to like the Danish ones, there's a whole website with all the funds you can apply to. And a lot of companies are interesting. I know my friend a year before went to Kenya and she got funding for it. But just be out in good time. So if you're thinking about it, already apply.
My very last thing I want to say, as sort of my final pep talk, is, this question, yeah.
So would you rather say then it's better to just go on like a short trip? Because you're saying that that's an advantage concerning data gathering, so you wouldn't stay there to start writing it, right?
No, I will do you can always argue that it's nice to be in the field and write up and so on, but then not for master thesis. A master thesis, I think you need to do what we call in sort of a professional language, a quick and dirty thing. Go well prepared, collect the data, pull out, and go back to base and write it up. Because otherwise it tends to being this endless, you could always do it better, you can always add. It's totally true. And in my own Bollywood research, we ended up staying for a very long time and we went back several times and so on. But this is a master thesis. And part of the beauty of it is that you get that whole thing that you can prepare a question, you go there, and then you have a couple of weeks and you're really busy, it's very intense, super high learning curve and very tired and lots of fun, and you may change your questions along the way, oh God, I need to ask more questions, you add new interviews. And then when you get yourself in the flight and go home, or in the boat, which you should all sail back now because of the CO2 thing, then you have done it. And now the focus is on analyzing it. And there are limitations because you don't have more data than that, but that's nice to have limitations sometimes. It's like a dogma rule of master writing that you need to do it with the given data. So I recommend short, intense, but well prepared.
Very good. Thank you so much, Mark, for joining us today and
thanks
sharing all your knowledge and experiences.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.